So weird how life
works.
Yeah. I would have not thought this would be me.
Hey, Roll Tide.
I'm not perfect. I'm going to stumble over my words. I'm going to make mistakes.
I think I like people that look like they haven't bathed.
Crunchy. Yeah, but I'm a total train wreck.
Are you ready to do this?
Guarantee you'll see the beast.
Wow, what a, this was a big episode.
This is a monumental episode.
There's a lot.
Yeah, there's two villains. This is a season of two villains, and it carries the show.
First of all, hi everybody, I'm back.
Hi everyone, I'm still here. I've never left.
You have not left.
I've been in our studio.
That's right.
For a week. Unattended to.
How did it go?
Great.
Great.
Thank you. Sitting here brewing up jokes.
Thank you so much, Senka, for filling in last week. It was great. And what an episode for me to come back on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on back. Now we got this big audience.
This bold and real audience.
Oh, everyone's so bold and real.
You know, when you said it last week, I was like, no, that's not really happening. And then I watched the episode, and then I watched this one, and I said,
Oh, it's impossible not to notice.
I was like, what are they selling? I don't want to buy it.
I'm bold and real.
Yeah.
I'm guessing some sort of flavored tortilla chip.
Ooh, fun.
Or maybe dip.
Well, they stopped.
The dip is bold.
The dip is bold and real.
And real.
But, you know, they stopped showing the birth control commercial this season, so can't be that.
I mean, that's real.
And bold.
And bold, yeah.
And bold in many respects.
Maybe somebody needs to get back, but it's not musical.
Well.
Could you imagine a musical season of The Bachelorette?
I'd throw myself out of a window, truly.
It depends.
What an episode. So there was a lot that happened. A lot of chicken nuggets that were consumed and a lot of conflict between the guys. So I think let's just get to Stepan. And just a reminder for everybody. Sorry, Adam.
I was going to get to Stepan.
Freaked you out.
Now I'm going to step pause.
Just a reminder, everybody. End of the Road is at the end of the episode. So we will address all of that stuff when we get there.
That's sort of the logical place. I feel bad that I didn't think to recommend we put it there until season, 11 or 12 or 13 or whatever. Sorry, everyone. Sorry we've been telling you who was eliminated before we even recap the episode.
You know what? Don't beat yourself up about it, Adam.
Yeah, you didn't think of it either. I'll beat you up about it.
How dare you?
Not on the air.
Not on the air. Later.
Let's talk about this first group date.
Yes, I like to call this group date labor pains. And on this...
Whoa!
On this, you're welcome.
Look at you. I call it pregnancy class, which is too on the nose. It's not even artful at all.
I mean, come on. Like, you're a writer. You're like, you should have done better than that.
Yeah.
So on this date was Cam, Mike, Jed, JPJ, Jonathan, Mateo, Kevin, and Tyler C. Tyler C, who is not Tyler G. Tyler C, who has the tinges of an East Dayton bro, and I love it.
Tyler C, probably the dumbest guy we have this year.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the dumber guys we've seen in now our seventh year covering this.
You know, I think that's pretty generous, Adam, but, you know, let's say he's definitely in the top three.
Bottom three,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, in this class, mm-hmm. this date, we take a class about how difficult it is to give birth to a human child.
Among these things include, and are not limited to, a quiz on the...
They are limited to, but
well,
go ahead.
Including a quiz on the female reproductive organs and the... Everything that goes on during pregnancy, you get a fake baby and you change diapers. And then at the tail end is the piece de resistance, if you will, the labor pain inducing electroshocks, which I am just.
Yeah. So they're like, yeah, labor hurts. And instead of the guys being like, yeah, I guess it really does. They go, we don't think you're smart enough to accept this. We need to show you.
And you know what? I don't think they're smart enough to accept it. Honestly,
also,
for the guy that put up. One of the guys during the quiz wrote on his whiteboard that the gestation period for a baby was 2 weeks. They're dumb.
What kind of reading level word do you think gestation is?
Oof.
You think if they would have said, how long is a woman pregnant before she gives birth, they would have all gotten it right?
Did they say gestation?
They said gestation.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
I think we have a vocabulary misunderstanding here more than a... birds and the bees type misunderstanding.
But here's another comment. Nothing that is part of the a woman's reproductive anything takes 2 weeks.
Well, that's true.
So it doesn't really matter if they said gestation or not.
That's true, but I...
If he thought menstruation...
It kind of does.
But if he thought menstruation and then the answer of 2 weeks...
Oh, that's even more embarrassing.
Still doesn't stand. So none of it is good.
I think it was just a guess because he didn't know what the word meant.
It was a bad guess.
It was a terrible guess. Because it wasn't right.
It was a bad guess.
So... This happens.
And also on this date, it was hosted by Bachelor superfans Jason Biggs and his wife, Jenny Mollen.
Hosts, allegedly, of a rival podcast?
I don't want to talk about
it. I don't either. I don't even... They allegedly.
Yeah. Or so you think.
So this is what Jason Biggs has been up to.
Yeah. I mean, just raking in that American Pie money and, you know, just kind of hanging out, pretty much.
So...
Yeah.
So let's talk about what actually... So this is what happens, like... We get to see everyone with their shirt off for the taser portion of the, you know, of the date.
Which I thought was fine. You know, I really...
Whatever. You know what? It's going to happen.
I actually thought this date was really fun. And, you know, you always see the, like, YouTube videos of, like, influencers and, you know, people like that, of the like, going on a date like this. And I really enjoyed it because I thought it was funny. The other thing, which I think we'll get into as
I did not like this date.
Okay.
I think you can just replace it with taking the kids to, like, a kindergartner, like, have them experience, like, be around little kids.
Oh, and
you
get, yeah!
An actual better view. And this is something they've done before.
Yeah!
I think you get an actual better view of, like, you know, fatherhood capabilities. You know, because, like, you want to read the baby books and everything. You get a 9-month lead up.
Here goes Adam. You're 40 always week, ready to read
you get
the
a
baby 40 books.
Week lead up.
You gotta read the baby books. You know, I enjoyed this date. I thought it was great. And we'll talk a little bit more about Hannah and how she surprised me in this episode in a lot of ways. I found her much more comfortable than she has been in the past episodes. I think she is, one, definitely getting more comfortable. I mean, it's week 3, and so she's a little bit more used to what's going on, or at least the editors are putting together...
Figuring out how to hide dumb.
Yes. But also, I would like to mention that it seems like she's much better one-on-one than she is in groups, but she's also very, I don't know, like, assertive... confident, like, more so than I thought she would be, and that surprised me.
That's definitely true, but it's not really funny to make fun of somebody for that, so I'm probably not going to talk about it much.
Darn it.
But I think somebody along the way, you know, Chris Harrison or one of the producers, somebody was just like, listen, you know, when they're talking, like, you can say what you want to back to them.
You're in charge.
Yeah, you're on the show. And I think she just did it one time, and then she was like, wait a second. This worked.
Yeah, she's got the big D.
They have to listen to me.
She's got the big D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big Dave.
The big Dave.
I think that happened. And then she's done it once now, and she's like, oh, cool, I can do this, and there's no problem or anything. It's just like, now that's the rule of the show.
She's been pretty bold and real.
I'll give her real, maybe later.
Okay, so we get to the evening part of the date, and so this is when, you know, the guys are sitting around eating chicken nuggets. Where did the chicken nuggets come from?
This is, okay.
What's going on?
We need to talk about this.
Yeah. Also, I'm hungry. You guys, I'm going to be off of bread in the month of June, so just beware if you cross my path. I'm pretty upset about it.
This is a self-mutilation effort by
Taylor Robinson. It really is.
I live in this Italian household.
You know what? And the other thing is that we keep seeing this Olive Garden commercial where they're doing the giant everything, the giant meatball, the giant chicken parmesan. And I want that. Can't eat it.
Drama.
You can.
No. I can't.
You can.
No.
Your body wants you to eat.
Oh, girl.
Carbohydrates taste good for a reason.
Every inch of my body wants to eat it. But I am challenging myself to do something for my body. So I'm going to be hungry and mad. So there's that.
Neither one of those sound like appealing adjectives to be around my house.
Sounds awful.
I will break you. There's
okay.
You idiot.
So the chicken nuggets.
So before this starts, all the guys are just sitting around. And, like, we are really going to learn some stuff about these people. Like, this is coming.
Yeah.
But first, a bunch of nuggets and like some dipping sauces just appear.
Loads of nugs. And they are very clearly like McDonald's nugs. I mean, they're not, they're obviously not Chick-fil-A nugs. I mean, and they're definitely not
Wendy's
nugs. Is
this like
nugs.
An Uber Eats product placement thing?
A DoorDash.
No, Uber Eats has advertisements of people walking out of McDonald's in the middle of this show.
Yeah, but also the show was showing ads for DoorDash, and then they did another one for Postmates with Martha Stewart. So I don't know what the problem is or what the point is here, but
I think
I want to know where the nugs came from.
I think McDonald's is exclusively available on Uber Eats. I think that was how Uber Eats got into the game.
I mean, they're very clearly McDonald's nuggets.
They're not, obviously, yes.
Because they're not Wendy's nuggets.
Everyone knows a McDonald's nugget.
Yeah, Wendy's nuggets are darker.
And they're, like, kind of thin and taller. They're not, like, there is a shape of a McDonald's nugget.
It's almost shaped like a dinosaur.
It's almost like they make them in, like, a big factory process where they have no possibility what to come out the McDonald's nugget shape.
I don't want to have a conversation about what those chickens have been through because I don't want to talk about it because the nuggets are delicious.
It's kind of charming that you think that a chicken goes through the process.
Isn't
to make
it, like, isn't it, like, a weird, like, gummy, like, weird paste? I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we're not here to talk about what's in a chicken nugget. We're here to talk about how good it looks on camera.
I'm sorry. I saw a documentary one time about it, and it did not go well.
Oh, I bet it was delicious.
It wasn't.
So there were nuggets just around.
Yeah.
I wrote in all caps, where did these nuggets come from?
The interns. Much like our interns who have done such tireless work.
And yet there are no nuggets in here. I'm sitting here nuggetless working on this podcast, and no one's having any kind of a good time. There's no dipping sauces.
I mean, the spring interns are going out, so maybe the summer ones will get it together.
If they're listening, nug up. Just do it.
What did you call me? So, the evening date.
So, it starts with Mike.
Starts with Mike.
The first big news to drop is from Mike, and he's like, listen, this pregnancy thing was kind of hard for me because when I was with one of my previous exes, we were expecting a child and lost the baby midway through. That's some tough stuff.
Woof. And like he had explained, first of all,
let me go back.
I love Mike. I love everything about Mike. Mike could do no wrong. Mike was wearing red pants tonight, and that was amazing.
What is this, the 90s?
I mean,
he's wearing red pants like that's a thing?
Hello? Actually, it's more of an early 2000s thing, but you wouldn't know that.
Early 2000s is the 90s.
Okay. So Mike is amazing. I love him. Everything's great about him. I really appreciated him opening up to Hannah about this. He also mentioned it was unclear to me. He said the engagement was going to happen, had happened. Like, he was going to propose to her when he found out that she was pregnant. That was unclear. Did you get that?
The miscarriage affected the relationship to the point where they didn't want to be together.
Oh, it definitely did.
I mean, I don't know any more than you do. I watch the same thing. But,
sure.
But this, for the record, if you're listening to the show and you're thinking about the strategy of the players involved, which we do.
Yeah.
This is a prime example. This is a classic example of picking the right time to drop your sob story.
Yes.
Like, Mike comes into the show and he's like, listen, I had some bad stuff happen to me. Mm-hmm. It was this miscarriage.
Yeah.
Right? I need to communicate to her that I've been through this. That is important because this is how you win the show.
That is true.
That you display vulnerability by saying the worst thing that's ever happened to you whenever it fits.
Correct.
And it fit.
This was the right time. And especially with as much as Hannah has been super focused on, I want to have a family, I want to have children. Like, I want these guys to know what it's like to go through this. And Mike has actually
He read the baby books.
It. Your man read the baby books. I love it.
So do I.
So, in the midst of Mike telling his experience to Hannah, that Cam came in and decided that it was his time to talk to Hannah by any means necessary. And frankly, I've had it.
Cam had a bad episode.
Cam actually had the worst episode out of everybody. That's not true. Somebody else had a worse episode, and it was so bad that he didn't even make the edit. So
I'm excited to find out about this later.
Yeah, I bet you are.
Taylor, for the record, Taylor knows something that I don't know and about one of the candidates who left, and we will find out. Candidates. Interesting. Contestants is the word I meant.
okay.
And we'll talk about it later. But first of all, I'd like to point out, Cam went with the bold choice of the hoodie blazer combination.
It's a little too real for me.
Listen, PSA. I'm not like a fashion icon or anything. I'm doing the show in sweatpants.
You? Adam?
You know what?
No.
I don't need this garbage from
you. A fashion icon?
I dress myself appropriately.
Okay.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say every day.
Well, yeah. I mean, today was kind of a day off. Nobody dressed themselves today. Again. Here is a pro tip.
Mm.
If you're going to dress up, dress up.
Yeah.
Don't put a hoodie on.
Don't mix messages.
Under your blazer. What is that?
Don't mix. You're mixing messages, Cam. And I would also like to say the only person that can effectively wear a hoodie with anything is Ryan Atwood, the fictional character from The OC. Your man can wear a wife beater, a hoodie, and a leather jacket like nobody's business. And Cam, you are not Ryan Atwood.
So anyway, that, and he's just sucks.
Yes!
So he, Mike's over here like, yeah, listen, we had, like, we lost this baby, and it was really sad for me. And, like, in the middle of all this, Cam's just, like, breathing down his neck, like, hey, is it my turn?
He is lingering, and it is gross. And here's the other thing. And Mike is not the one to interrupt. Like, maybe you can interrupt somebody else, but it is very clear based on last week's episode and this week's episode that there are clearly guys who are very focused on the rules of engagement. And, Adam, I have a question for you. Do you think that this time around, people are very focused on the rules more so than they have been in previous seasons? Like, other seasons, people are like, you know, I can talk to this person whenever I want, blah, blah, blah. And nobody is really focused on respecting each other and, like, what the timeline is. We focus on it. You and I focus on it when we talk on the show, but nobody has actually verbalized it. So why do you think these guys are so pressed about we have to play the game correctly and Cam is not playing the game correctly?
I don't think they are. Mm-hmm. I think they're the usual amount of pressed about it. I just think that at the beginning stages, like right now,
there's too many people, so you have to respect the rules.
Well, no, you don't want to stand out. And a guy who breaks the rules is a guy who stands out.
Right.
So this happened to Cam, like, you know, you stand out.
Well, and
you,
it's happening to Luke, too.
You just need to put your head down for a while and let Mateo and Dustin with the nose ring, like,
who?
These are all guys who survived this week.
Dustin with the nose ring, I have to say something. Every time I see him, I go, does she know that he has a nose ring? And it's not.
Can she see that?
And it's not a stud. It's a hoop. What?
This is a professional something?
You have to bring this man potentially home to your family. Do you think your family's going to be cool with him not only being black, but having a nose ring?
You got to pick your battles in the nose ring battle.
That ain't one. That's not the one. That's not the hill to die on.
Okay? No,
man. It's not the hill to die on. Anyway, so Cam did not play the game well this week. I mean, it was very clear that Mike was upset. And also, the thing that I didn't appreciate, among all of these other things that we did see about Hannah, that she apologized to Cam for not getting to him immediately. So maybe, like, what you said.
I think she's just being, like, Southern polite here. I don't think she really means, like, hey, sorry I really offended you. I think she really meant just, like, a very polite, like, oh, sorry you had to wait type thing. But not like it was her fault.
So Cam came in with this whole thing about, like, you know, I just want to tell you that I quit my job to be here. I mean, listen, I don't want to hear it and I don't want to talk about it. You are in software sales in Austin, Texas. Austin is, like, the third most important city in the world when it comes to new tech software junk.
Also,
like,
so
get out
what?
Of here, big.
Everyone gave up sales, something to be
software
here.
Software sales, really? Really, girl? There's not another job doing software sales.
You didn't
sales
give up
somewhere.
The opportunity of a lifetime.
Of a lifetime, truly? You came in here wearing a hoodie with a blazer. You look like an idiot.
A hoodie and a blazer?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
You gotta come out here and be like, I'm trying my hardest. You got a hoodie and a blazer on? You're going to come out here and be impatient and needy and insecure and all this stuff. And you're going to do it wearing a hoodie and a blazer.
Looking like you went to Express and said, just give me what the mannequin has on.
That's exactly what he did.
That's exactly what it is. So Mike ended up getting the rose and everybody ended up being pretty pissed at Cam. So, yay.
There's an important moment that we did not talk about yet.
What was that?
It was Tyler C's conversation about how powerful of a woman she was.
Let me tell you
something.
Which
we need to bring this up.
Let me tell you something about my best friend, Tyler C. Tyler C. looks like the kind of guy that got picked up to work at an Abercrombie and they never spoke to him. And you know why they never spoke to him?
Because he's dumb.
He didn't need to talk. He needed to be one of the guys that was just standing in the front of the store, modeling the jeans with his shirt off. And then once the people in the back room ended up talking to him, they were like, this guy is the dumbest I've ever met in my life.
So,
but he doesn't need to talk.
So Tyler C has this just like canned speech about how he's attracted to powerful women. Mm. And so they sit down and like he's like, let's be clear. Hundreds of guys use this every minute of every weekend night at every bar everywhere.
Yeah.
You sit down and you're like, you know what I'm attracted to? Powerful woman.
A bold strong woman. A real strong, bold woman.
Yeah, this is in 100% of the cases that this tactic is deployed. It is a fake mechanism to try to compliment a woman and yourself at the same time.
Right.
It's shitty. So they sit down. Tyler's like, listen, I am so into a powerful woman, and that's you.
Now, Adam, let me stop you right there. The way that you're speaking it is with non-regional diction. I would like to be very clear that the way that Tyler is speaking it, he sounds like Nick Kroll acting as Sylvester Stallone in Big Mouth.
Hey, great.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Give me one more pass at this.
Oh, you don't talk there, you listen. You know, in here, we're all his children, right? I mean, the guy's a sex guy, huh?
Hey, listen, you've been a powerful woman. You've been bold and with the real woman.
Listen.
That's what it sounded like.
Listen, I'm not saying that Tyler has an eighth grade education. I'm just saying he has a half brother that I would like to meet.
I'm saying he talks like he has a 4 foot long tongue and his mouth can't open.
But listen. But listen, he mowed lawns during the summer wearing basketball shoes. He's got a white Grand Am, and I'd like to know
Stop
more.
Projecting.
What? He's from East Dayton. It's fine.
He's not from East Dayton.
He might as well be.
Nobody knows this. Nobody listening is going to be like, East Dayton, I know what that means.
A lot of people know.
Whatever the white trash part of town is in your town.
That's right!
Wherever people park their cars on their front yard in your town.
Oh, stop. It's hot in here.
That's it.
Ooh, it's hot in here.
All right. That was the end of the group date. Mike got the rose because Mike is charming and actually went through some stuff related to this. He was the only choice, really.
And he was wearing red pants. Don't forget it. Happy Memorial Day, Mike, who was in the military.
Hard to forget, right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and of all days.
And of all days.
Way to go, Mike.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the nothing that happened on the Connor's one-on-one. Connor S's one-on-one date.
Okay, so Hannah was sick.
Allegedly.
I think what happened is she probably was super tired. I was actually having a conversation with somebody about this the other day, and they were like, I realized that I hadn't slept in a couple days, and I just passed out. So that happens sometimes.
How do you just realize you haven't slept in a couple of days? Going to sleep is sort of like that's a big thing. The end of the day comes, and you're like, itching with excitement, like, yes,
right, but
I get to go to sleep now.
Honey, I know that you and I love the bed, but some other people have problems sleeping completely through the night. So you might go to sleep at 10, and then you wake up at 1, and then you're just up. Or, you know, you're traveling, and your time schedule's off. I mean, there's any number of things that could happen. I think she was probably tired. I think she might have maybe gotten food poisoning, ate something wrong, or wasn't eating.
Forgot to plan a date.
All of that is on the table. So Hannah had to go to the hospital, get an IV, and was basically bedridden.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
So, because later that night, she is mysteriously unbedridden.
Well, you know, if you've ever gotten...
the body works in mysterious ways.
And if you've ever gotten a B12 shot and an IV pack, whoo!
I mean, I haven't. I don't know who has, but...
a lot of people have.
So instead of going on their date, which is going to be sailing, yeah, Connor is just, like, invited to her place. And they just hang out and talk in her bed. Which is not weird or anything. They really are. Like, she is not in condition to be, like, sexualizing this bed moment.
Exactly.
They really are just sitting there and talking in the bed.
Frankly, this sounds like the most amazing date on the planet. And if they were able to watch TV...
Yeah, what?
If they were able to watch TV, I'm on board.
This should be a date.
This should be a date!
Like, not just on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. Like,
all the time.
This should be a date that a one-on-one single person is allowed to just be like, hey, listen, I don't want to do anything, but come over and let's just sit in the bed and, like, in sweatpants and like watch TV or something.
Now, honey, I would like to.
Can this happen?
Well, honey, I would like to address it. It did happen a lot in college. It was called come over watch and a watch a yeah. movie. Yeah. Yeah. So this is a date.
But watch a movie is
code for sex.
Everyone knows it.
It's code for sex.
It's yeah. Mm. It is not what happened here. They didn't watch a movie.
No. But they had cameras on them and she actually was sick and no.
I meant metaphorically they didn't watch a movie.
Control.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. Connor is kind of boring. He kind of jumped the gun. He's like, "Listen, when I was 13, I was skiing and my mom had a stroke." And you're like, "Dude, I don't know why." She goes, tell me about you. And he goes, "Well, first off, I want to tell you that my mom had a stroke." And you're
yeah,
like,
I mean,
what?
Especially after Mike, like, actually connected the dots on an appropriately addressable traumatic event. This is like, I'm not saying that everybody's tragedy is, you know, weighted differently, but I'm saying everybody's tragedy is weighted yeah, differently. Like,
it's not a competition, but you can lose.
You can like, lose. Who is the best tragedy that you remember from this whole show?
Oh, you know I don't remember stuff like that.
Would you say Dean and the Aquarians is on the list?
Oh, maybe. But would he told. Say, but he said it at the right time.
Would you say Blake and the divorced parents?
I didn't
and
even,
the cheating with the basketball
she with,
coach?
She cheated with the teacher
plus
at the school.
Plus the school shooting?
Maybe.
That was.
I don't remember. I don't remember enough of them off the top of my head to do this.
I mean, it's like we could do a dead parent. We could do dead parents all day, but like... Show me something. Oh, the Elise's dead sister. That's a good one.
I don't even remember who Elise is.
Elise was the one with the red hair that you didn't like last season.
Sounds made up.
Yeah, but she had the sister.
She sounds made up.
But she had the sister who she was the makeup artist from Alaska. She had the sister who had the baby, and then she died during childbirth.
Everyone has a sister.
Oh, God. Anyway, so that was cute.
How did this happen?
I don't know.
How did we get to this spot where everyone's just in such a big hurry to come out here and get credit for having survived the worst thing that happened to them?
I mean, it's week three. This is the time where you start talking about other stuff.
Does this happen in the wild in dating?
It probably happens.
Why am I asking you?
Well, I don't know why you're asking me, but
I'm asking the universe.
Yeah, well, I mean, the idea might be that maybe 6 months in, if you are in a healthy and vulnerable place, that's when you would address it. But you know what, honey? A lot of people don't talk to people about stuff, so it is highly likely that a lot of traumatic stuff that happens in people's lives aren't addressed at all in relationships, and that's why the divorce rate is 50%.
Wow, okay, didn't ask for that. but, like, if you're single and you're listening, feel free to leave comments here. How many hours of conversation pass before this kind of stuff comes up?
It's definitely more than 48, which is
I
what,
feel like,
what timeline we're on right now.
Oh, but I don't. These two have probably not had more than 20 minutes together face to face.
No,
until now.
No,
he didn't. No, he didn't even get a date last week.
No,
this is like minute one of talking to her.
Yes,
you know, wouldn't you be like, "Hey, this is my name. This is my job. This is what my family looks like. I got a brother and sister.
I mean,
like,
maybe
I'm from this part of the universe.
I mean, maybe I can only assume that somebody brings this kind of thing up when you ask them a question that is high level enough where you say, okay, tell me what's important to you. Like, what do you value? And in the scheme of him getting to the answer, he had to explain that his mom had a stroke.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
But just unsolicited, like, poor me stories?
It seems like a lot.
At least you can understand them.
I guess.
So that happens.
I also feel like Connor looks like Tyler.
Yeah, obviously they look
okay,
alike.
I just didn't know. I just didn't know. Connor looks like the sort of more highfalutin version of Tyler. Tyler looks like he's from the other side of the tracks. Connor looks like he went to private school.
On the tracks. Oh, yeah.
Connor went to private school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't feel like we learned anything about Connor. I don't feel like he's too much of a threat to be around
no,
for.
No, I mean, I thought it was pretty cute that he left some of those affirmation post-its that were basically all physical attributes that Hannah had.
Yeah.
And then,
Yeah, classic dumb guy move.
Yeah.
Oh, the best thing about you is that you're so beautiful and you have a sparkle in your eye.
Oh, my God.
That's the best thing?
Say anything else. And then later on, he went back to the mansion. And Luke was being super weird about this.
Luke tried to go on the date secondhand.
Yeah.
Through the retelling from Connor.
Including making comments to Connor like, what was she wearing? I'm sorry, what? What?
He's like, oh, she's sick? What are the symptoms?
What?
Why? How could you possibly want to know this?
Is this hot to you? Like, do you need to know the symptoms to get off? Is there something that you want to do? Are you trying to replay the date in your mind like you were on it?
I think he's just trying to look for any edge he can bring up in a conversation with her later.
What a freak. What a weirdo. And I hate it.
He's terrible.
So later on, Connor was asked back for the evening portion of the date. It seemed like it was not a very long thing. It was
She gave him a rose right up front, right. And then they had a private concert.
Private concert with Lucas Graham, which I appreciate because most of the time when they do a private concert, it's usually some dumb country group. Lucas Graham is actually relatively famous, and then there was nobody else at the private concert. It wasn't in this big room. It was very intimate. It was tasteful, it was as I like private, to say. It was actually a private concert. It was very tasteful.
Yeah. Relatively uneventful one-on-one date.
Thanks for being bold and real, Con.
The next group date,
yeah,
was a photo shoot with some adorable animals.
Not just any adorable animals. It was a spawn con for the upcoming film, The Secret Life of Pets 2.
Oh my God, they laid this on so thick.
They really did.
So I had a preview of this. I know one of my friends from Springfield listens to this, and he texted me. He's like, hey, they do a really bad, like, movie promotion all through one of the segments of this episode, and yeah, like, keep an eye out for it. And I was now, like, I'll look for it.
Now, mind you, this is not the first time that this has happened. I mean, remember when Cinderella came out? I mean, Jade came out with that whole thing. Bad. They did the Beauty and the Beast thing. Like, this is not new information for the show. It's just been a while, and, you know, I like to keep my separation of church and state separate.
Yeah, I mean, that's important.
Yeah. So on this date included Luke P, Dylan, Luke S, Garrett, Devin, Joey, Grant, and Peter.
Yeah. So they basically just were they in underpants, most of them?
It was literally a photo shoot with an array of animal.
Yeah. It wasn't just like cute little rescue dogs like we've seen before, which I will never get old.
Well, obviously. I mean, it was dogs. It was snakes. It was
little baby pigs.
It was a pig, some cute stuff. Also, fun fact, one of the things that was added to this date is our resident bachelorette private eye Demi was back this week.
She doesn't even go here.
This is an unwelcome addition to the show.
I don't like it. And so they set up some cameras to sort of trick the guys into, I don't know, like, dogging out Hannah or making it seem like they weren't here for the right reasons, whatever. I thought this was stupid. Like, why are we doing this?
They hired a bunch of actresses to play, like, helping hands here. A makeup artist and, like, someone who was, like, a stage hand of the animals. And they were supposed to hit on the guys and see if they could get them to, like, hit on them back on national TV. It was obviously not going to work.
No, like,
you're on a dating show.
I don't understand this. I don't. It was not
anything
exciting
to keep Hannah off of the television.
Right.
And I guess putting Demi on it is one of their ways to do that.
Exactly. So, obviously, throughout all of this, none of the guys got caught because, I don't know,
because everyone knows they're under surveillance all the time.
We've watched a hidden camera show at least twice, so it's
thank God
fine.
There's nobody with big, like, black glasses on. Just like, God. Oh, obviously.
So this is when things got a little bit hairy. So Luke P, over the course of this episode, has been increasingly, I don't know what you would call it.
Possessive, maybe?
That
or
is
aggressive?
That is the word. Possessive is the word.
Thank you.
And so
I come up with the word for a living. So.
Oh, God. So, okay, so we've already talked about you being a writer. I can't wait until we talk about your...
You brought that up.
Damn it. So, Luke has been increasingly more possessive. So, from the end of last week, he... And this was something that I did want to bring up. For somebody who is saying that he is a born-again virgin and is really focused on his faith, and he was basically as a youth, and God came to him while he was in the shower masturbating and told him, hey, cut it out.
I think you added a part of that.
When somebody says that God came to them in the shower, I know what you were doing.
Good point.
Exactly.
Literally pointing fingers at people. Good point.
Good point. So he seems to be very sexually aggressive and possessive for somebody who feels that they caught the Holy Ghost when it comes to how they live their life.
Yeah, his translation of things is not hyper believable. He's like, yeah, I'm super religious. And you're like,
Are you?
You seem like you're kind of mean to everyone.
Yeah, and not to say that we're comparing Christians and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, this doesn't sound like something Sean Lowe would do. You know what I mean?
It doesn't seem like something anybody out here, like, trying to advertise their religion should do. Because it's obviously undesirable.
Yeah, and based on his possessiveness and what is coming across as possessive, he doesn't seem like a good partner for a woman.
Or anyone.
Anybody.
He doesn't seem like he's someone anyone should ever spend time with because he sucks.
No, because he sucks. So there are a lot of red flags here. Hannah was really concerned, and it seemed like he was being really aggressive with her and wanting to spend all of his time with her. There was one point where she was going to change clothes for the evening date, and he was like, I'll walk you to your dressing room. No, bro, you freaking me out. Like, you gotta chill out. And she told him that. She said, no, I'm okay. I'm gonna just walk across.
Stop following me.
I'm gonna walk across the room. And so it was interesting because later on in the evening, did she take him aside first? Yes, I think she did. She took him aside first because she was pretty freaked out about how he was acting on the date. And I think what set Luke off was that she was getting really close with Peter, the pilot, who I find to be unbelievably boring. But we'll get to that later.
My power rankings are not going to be good for you.
Well, you'll be surprised at who's in my power rankings based on that as well.
Oh.
So she was getting close with Peter, and that set him off. And so he felt like he needed to overstep and, you know, be really aggressive. So she basically told him, you need to chill out. We're okay. The way you're acting is wildly unattractive. You think you're being confident, but it's actually being cocky. You don't respect my other relationships. You cannot cut me off when I'm trying to speak. And you already think that whatever it is that's going on among this process is already promised to you. I have 18 other boyfriends that I need to focus on. I can't be all about you all the time. And I was shook.
She was bold.
And real.
Yeah. And so Luke instantly says, let me just cut you off right there.
Ugh.
He literally said, can I cut you off for a second?
Ugh. My ovaries just shriveled up. Just went.
Fun little piece of advice from me. I'll just give this out free right now to Luke and to anybody who's listening.
Tell us, Adam.
When you're on a group date like this, the point is to have a good time with everyone.
Yes.
You're going to get your time with the bachelor or the bachelorette. You're just going to. The show is set up like that.
Literally.
You're going to get it.
And the point is for you to have show that time. You can get along with other people. That is also part of what she's looking for during the date.
This person is allegedly considering you for marriage. And here's a fun pro tip about marriage. You spend a lot of time with that person in like a group, like a crowd. You do everything together. So you have to have somebody who can get along with the crowd.
And as discussed, and I don't know if anybody knows me for real, but I'm going to say it. One of the things that I always find so attractive in the people that I have dated previously is I want to be able to...
Why'd you say me? Nobody cares about who you're attracted to before me. No one cares about that. Unless you have some ex who's like listening to this thing like, yes, finally, after 130 episodes, finally she talks about me.
It's called vindication. One of the things that I find so attractive is...
About Adam Boniface... You can use me by name. It's okay to compliment me on air.
But I would also say that this is a quality that I have assessed in other people that I have dated. But you also have this quality, which is part of why we're together. Is that helpful?
It still feels diminished. But
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No problem. So I want to be able to be in a relationship with somebody where I can leave you alone. Like, I don't want to babysit you. I don't want you to be on top of me. I don't want you to only be talking to me. I want us to go to a thing or go to a party or whatever, and I can get up and walk away and come and find you later. That is hot. That is attractive. Luke is not doing that, among other things. That is one of, like, the minute that he started doing all this chasing me around and, like, you know, not being a cool person, I would have said, okay, you can go. I'm done.
I think everyone's looking for somebody who, in a big social situation, will just follow them around and try to beg them to talk the whole time.
Oh, see, so you sound like you're joking. Is that a joke? Are these jokes?
I don't know. One of the things that I've really looked forward to in all of my ex-girlfriends is that they'll follow me and just stalk me in tight spaces.
So, basically, after...
And also, Anna... that they wear glasses.
Oh, man.
Those are the only two things I ever care about, stalking and wearing glasses.
Awesome.
If you're listening to this and you've dated me before, maybe you should have stalked me closer.
I know. Especially if you've been so clear about the things it is that you want.
Apparently, we talk about relationships before our one with each other on the show now.
So, Hannah... basically talked to Luke for like 2 seconds and Luke went off. So he went back to the guys and they asked him, oh, you know, what was that all about? Whatever. And he said, she talked to me and I didn't get to say anything.
She did all the talking.
Yeah, man. Yeah, dude.
This is how a conversation works. Sometimes you do more talking. Sometimes she does more talking.
Mm-hmm.
In general, it's got to be about 50-50. Like, that's the way it works. And just kind of by the way that you understand things, you don't really have the percentages figured out.
Right. And how? And in this instance in particular, you were not allowed to speak. This is not a time for you to talk. This is not a time for you to explain yourself. She's been pretty clear about what it is that's going on. You have to sit and wait. That's it. And he did not want to do that.
This is an example of what I refer to as the classic male fallacy.
Tell us about it again.
You could listen to probably 100 of our episodes and I will have talked about it.
I love it.
Every guy, including Luke P., thinks he is the best guy possibly in existence. The best option any woman could ever want.
Yeah.
And all he needs to do to attract a woman is just expose more of himself to her. He needs to talk to her more and expose these beautiful layers of the onion. You know, look, I'm not only big and strong, I've also got all this really cool stuff about myself to say.
I don't like this onion, it smells.
And she's cutting him off from doing this.
Yeah.
If she would just shut up and listen, he could tell her how great he is, and then she would know. It's easy, really.
Yeah, no. It's not working.
I feel like I've got a lot of tongue-in-cheek stuff happening tonight. I hope people are taking this with the right tone.
It's very funny. It's very funny.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
For the record, I'm a nice person. I don't believe a lot of the stuff I'm saying here. You should be laughing at work or whatever you're listening to this.
LOL. So he gets mad. So he goes to interrupt her. And she's like, okay, no, this is not okay. I will talk to you later. This is not a thing. And she says to him, which again, Hannah being bold and real.
She's addicted to the boldness.
She's
so bold.
She's out here changing how I feel about her 40 minutes at a time.
Oh, I don't feel like I still she hate said, this woman.
She said, I want to call my own shots. You don't get to tell me what it is that I can and can't do.
It's not your show. It's not my show.
It's my show. I'm the best.
She had a bite of the bold and she wants to come back. She's double dipping.
Yes.
Now that I've already gotten my mind around it definitely being a tortilla chip or some kind of a dip thing, the double dip thing seems hyper appropriate.
Oh, it's a chip for sure.
It's gotta be.
You know what? What if it's milk?
Bold milk? Huh? Get out of here. No. Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, it's not hot. It's not
milk
like
isn't bold.
I don't know, but it's real.
Well, yeah, it's real. Unless it's almond milk.
Maybe it's lactate. Maybe it's lactate milk.
No, because that's not real.
It is real. You saw the commercial.
It's not bold.
Well, it might be. So.
Bold milk? Please.
So the Luke thing will continue to permeate. This is going to remain a huge problem. We saw that in the.
He's now the main villain.
We saw in the trailer for the upcoming weeks where basically one of the guys is saying either you can't sleep with anybody or I don't like that you've slept with somebody else. It is highly likely that that person is Luke based on his behavior.
People being possessive is just a fantastic way to build relationships.
So good.
I think you could even take it outside of a romantic relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, like a work relationship. Yes. Or some sort of weird familial relationship, maybe.
Ooh, yeah, that's
maybe
a good
you have
one.
A younger brother or a sister. Mm. You know, be possessive.
This calls for a lot.
That is your stuff. Those people are your people.
Things.
They're not their own.
They're not people. They're things.
Yeah.
They're things.
Yeah. Nobody else is the protagonist in their own story. Everyone in the universe is just a role player in your story.
Oh, it's like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I'm the villain in my old story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this
yeah.
is the Truman Show. This and is it's it. All about Luke P.
Ugh, what a nightmare. So the rose goes to Peter, who I find to be, again, terribly boring. And he's got the worst haircut ever. And maybe it's because he's a pilot and he can only have one haircut, but
I don't think that's a law. I don't think there's...
I feel like
by
it's
law about
I feel
a haircut.
Like it's a law. Is there's anybody out there that is listening that knows about the piloting world? Please let me know.
The piloting haircut world, really specifically.
I mean, his haircut is so dumb.
Just give me a biscuit. That's what he says. He goes in and they're like, yeah, give me the biscuit.
Give me the
please.
Biscoff. Mm, I see. Just a little off the top.
Let's go to the cocktail. Tailgate. Cocktailgate.
Roll Tide.
Right? Did you know she's into college football?
Yes.
She's very proud of her education at the University of Alabama, which is hilarious.
LOL.
That's sort of an, like, education at the University of Alabama is a bit of an oxymoron. And I went to Missouri.
Oh, boy. So the main thing that we gleaned from the tailgate event is that Cam was ready yeah. to...
Really just one thing happened.
To lay on his torture porn, as I like to call it, to let Hannah know who he really was.
So he sets it up, right? They're like, yeah. hey, Chris Harrison's like, no cocktail party, but a tailgate instead. And he goes, hey, listen, everyone. He being Cam.
And this, mind you, Chris Harrison is out of the room at this point because yeah. he would have laughed
this
in
is
his
like
face.
Instantly after Chris Harrison leaves, mm-hmm. Cam goes, hey, everyone, listen. As soon as it starts, I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to talk to her and tell her some serious stuff. So just stay out of the way.
Now, if you guys didn't actually watch the episode, we are very serious that Cam said these words in front of the entire group of guys. This is not a joke. This is not a game. This actually happened.
He is a psychopath.
What a crazy person.
He is a narcissist and a psychopath. And, like, I wish I had more than just this minor in psychology.
I knew this was coming.
You tried to make it earlier, but I cut you off.
I knew it. I knew it. So after Cam sort of said this manifesto, Mike was basically like, nah, bruh.
Yeah,
that's
Mike's
not...
like, listen.
No.
No. Why don't we all just enjoy the tailgate? Which is the right response, but also, I'm scared for Mike in this moment.
I don't think you should be scared for Mike at all.
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore?
I'm scared for him because I'm like, listen, you don't want to get on the outs with a guy like Cam, because as soon as it's obvious to him that he's going to leave, he's going to take you out with him.
But
this
also,
this happens every year.
But it is also very clear that there are multiple guys that are on Mike's side. Cam does not have a dog in this fight. It would be different if it was like a Kaylin versus Hannah thing, or if it was like a Demi versus Tracy thing, where it was like hearsay and like dumb, small, petty stuff. Like these guys.
Yeah, it's the house against one guy.
Yeah, it's literally the house against one guy.
But that happens in both The Bachelor and The Bachelorette every season. And somebody always takes a bullet for everyone and drags this person down. And it usually does not end well for them. Mike is lucky that Cam cannot see the end coming for himself. Cam's like, oh, I'm still the best guy.
And
here.
Mike is also very lucky that he is very, seemingly very well liked.
He's
house.
Already got the rose.
He's already got so the rose. So he's got nothing to lose. He's got nothing to lose.
So it actually happens. So, boom, tailgate starts, and Cam's just out here prowling, and he finds his opening.
What a freak.
He grabs Hannah, pulls her off to the side, and just releases this torture porn on her.
Tidal wave of torture porn.
It's very weird. It's just contextless tragedy that he just puts out there. He's like, I'm not going to tell you why I'm bringing this up, but all this bad stuff happened.
He stated it as it was the worst year of his life, 2017, where something happened with his leg and he almost had to get it amputated. Then he had to rehome a puppy that he had, and then his grandmother died.
Then he got into a car accident, and he got a speeding ticket, and he dropped his lunch, and they delivered the wrong burrito.
Oh.
Right?
Guys, this happened to me last night. Adam got the wrong burrito last night.
I spent all day sitting around. It was like Sunday. Great. Sunday night, we order Mexican food, right? I order the same burrito. I wake up Sunday morning. I'm like, ugh.
It's Sunday.
Sunday. But this burrito is going to be in my mouth for dinner.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it all day.
You were.
They brought the wrong burrito.
And how wrong was it?
Everything was wrong.
Oh, my God.
I know what you're thinking.
It had sour cream on it, didn't it?
I didn't order sour cream.
Oh, God.
It had no meat. Mm-mm. I wanted ground beef. It had no hot peppers. I wanted all the hot peppers. Yeah. Bonus, extra. Make that thing sweaty.
Yeah.
Right? Ooh. I was like, cheese. No, they're like, how about guac? And I was like, no, thanks. They gave me everything I didn't want.
It was literally the opposite of what was on your thing. So.
It was still okay because it's a burrito, so like you can't get so bad. But it was not the imagined dream burrito I had been having.
I mean, you...
And like... all of this happened to Cam in 2017.
You had a worse 2019 than Cam had in 2017.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to just unleash some other contextless bad stuff that happened to me, so I won't.
So then there was a discussion that was had between Hannah and Mike, where Mike was like, Cam's not here for the right reasons. He's going to, you know,
He
told us his playbook. He wrote us all letters this morning because he was like, I think I'm going home. So I'm going to write you all these, you know, manifestos, basically. And then I'm going to tell Hannah my sob story and hopefully I'll get a pity rose.
So he sort of got lucky here because he kind of called the shot. Like, this is the ultimate my word versus your word thing, is I can tell you what the other guy said without hearing it.
But again, Mike has built the goodwill. He's got all of the stuff. He could basically pee on the floor. And then Hannah would be like, who spilled this here?
Did one of those dogs from the thing, from the photo shoot come by?
Oh, it was the pig.
Yeah. But like, Cam doesn't say to everyone, I'm going to tell her a sob story. He said, I'm going to tell her a very serious thing. I have something very serious to tell her, whatever.
Right.
And Mike just puts it together that he's playing the sob story Hail Mary. Comes out, calls a shot, and nails it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And it pretty much worked
out. That was the end for Cam.
So let's get to the end of the road right now, then.
So let's do Cam first.
Let's do Cam first.
Cam is gone. No one will miss him. He needs to stop rapping. Buy a real shirt underneath that jacket.
He absolutely will not. And you know what? He's going to be back for Men Tell All, and it's going to be a nightmare.
He's terrible. No one's going to miss him.
Yep.
Let's talk about Tyler G. Okay. Tyler G disappeared in the middle of the show, and the only hint that we got was like a second where Hannah was sitting there just sort of weirdly on camera, and she was like, this has been a weird week. I went to the hospital, which is old information.
Sure.
And also Tyler G left. And then that was it.
Yeah.
So Taylor dug up the actual information. Here's what happened.
Because I was Nancy Drew in a former life.
Thank you, Nancy.
So Reality Steve posted during this episode that there was some past relationship information that was revealed to the production that was pretty disturbing, and so they had to have Tyler G removed from the show. Come to find out, this past relationship information was posted on a Reddit thread that was related to The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. Ashley Spivey, who is a former contestant and is still very close with the production, was DM'd this information and then brought it to the producers, who then investigated it, and as a result,
so what is the information?
So the information was that, according to Tyler's ex-girlfriends, that he is wildly misogynistic and crazy, to the point where on a trip to Europe with his ex-girlfriend, they got into a screaming match on the trip, and he spit on her.
This sounds like something Luke P. does in this show.
Yes. So I have a couple of questions. One... It is not to say that any of this isn't true. Obviously, it's true enough where the show was like, no, you got to get out of here. And the show must have done a robust investigation enough based on all of the previous contestants that they've had on the show that they've kept around.
Why do they wait?
Right.
Like, can't they just do this? You're going to have 30 guys in here. You mean to tell me you can't just do the research then and then have 29?
And especially when you when they release the Facebook pictures and everything of these guys in March. Like, you mean to tell me, well, I guess.
Some girl was sitting around being like, oh, I dated that guy. He's a...
Exactly. So you could say that about anybody on the show. So the other thing is, you know, they had to have done a robust sort of download and research on all of this because, you know, the words on some social media posts can't always be taken as truth and as the gospel.
Oh, none of them can.
So the other thing is, it's interesting that they wanted to remove someone that fast from the show because where was this energy for Lee from Rachel's season? Where was this energy from Lincoln and Garrett from Becca's season? Where was this energy from Josh Murray from Andy's season? And it seems like the show wants to be careful enough to not get themselves wrapped up into some mess that they've gotten themselves wrapped up in the past couple of years. And they're at least trying to address this stuff quickly. But if the people that knew that he was going to be on the show knew that he was gross and weird, and I'm sure all this information came out, it seems strange that they would even let him be on the show in the first place. Especially after last week, and he had such a great date, and we were like, okay, well, Tyler's like somebody, right? So that's what happened.
It is curious, but why cast these people? I don't know.
Again, it seems weird that they would let Tyler G on the show, and
if only they had any resources to do any kind of like investigation about these people.
Lincoln was on the floor and accused of sexual assault, and he got to week eight.
Got to save all that budget for the private concerts that no one's asking for.
Hey.
Can't afford to research these
Lucas
guys.
Graham is a charted artist.
I know, that's what I'm saying. We're agreeing.
And then we also lost Jonathan.
Who's that?
Okay, so who's in your power rankings?
We also lost Joey, who was on my power rankings last week because he was beautiful.
I forgot about Joey, but he's no box king.
He's Joey. He didn't really do anything except be Italian and beautiful, which is enough for me and probably enough for you. Look at what you're with.
Yep.
Let's do power rankings. My number four is Devin because I think he's just a cute little guy.
No, my number four is Mike because Mike is amazing.
Number four? Wait, how are you doing power rankings?
I'm doing power rankings based on how she's going to pick.
All right, my number three is Jed, the Jetty Bear, who I hope is on your list.
The Jetty Bear is on my list.
She is eating up the Jetty Bear.
Three is way too low for the Jetty Bear girl.
I like him.
I love Jed.
I like two other guys more, but I like Jed.
Okay, my number three is Connor. Connor had a good date. Connor seems Tyler.
It looks
Connor,
so similar.
Tyler and Connor are the same person, but remember, Tyler's from the wrong side of the tracks. Connor is probably a little bit more her speed because he's a little bit more clean cut. And he had the best date of the week?
Maybe, but let's be honest. Like, Tyler C might be her speed because the dude's dumb. And so is she. This is her defining characteristic.
Oh, but he's so trashy and hot.
And bold and real.
Yes!
my number two is PETA.
My number two is PETA. Also PETA.
Pilot PETA.
Pilot PETA.
Into it. Give me that Biscoff.
Oh, man.
Number one is Mike.
My number one is the Jetty Bear.
The Jetty Bear. She's into it, man.
I love it. Okay, bold predictions very quickly. I think the main thing, we're going to Boston next week, which will be very exciting.
Where Jed will perform on camera for the second time?
I don't know. I mean, he at some point he's got to put the guitar away, frankly.
I think they set him up for it. Like, I think they go out on this date where they're like, oh man, somebody around here has to play a guitar.
Oh,
nobody gets
girl.
Anything.
And then it also seems like Tyler C has a one-on-one date with her as well next week. And
oh,
then,
man, can't wait to hear what they talk about. Geopolitics, probably?
You know, I think he's got something to say about the housing crisis.
I think we already heard that.
I think we already did. I think Dave explained it. Dave Rhodes explained it very well.
Yeah.
And then I think the main thing that's going to come up is this whole thing with Luke P and the Hannah having sex with people and him not liking it.
I mean, he's now the only villain, which kind of gives him protection because now the producers will make sure he stays on. But it's going to get nasty.
Yeah, and I think the fact that she's going to keep him around for longer than the guys are willing to have him around, and that's going to be a huge issue.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening to us this week.
Wow, this was a lot of content.
Yeah. This is just a meaty episode.
It was a meaty episode.
Meaty like Tyler C's tongue.
Oof.
Okay, that's a great answer. Powerful woman. Yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening to us. We'll be back next week.
Cool. Bye, love you.
Stop with my mind. None of you know anything about me. I want fun, and I want adventures.
Because all we do is talk about stupid
jabroni.
The real time, yeah.
It was real and it was raw.
I'm a normal human being, like, trying to be a bachelorette.